All good. It's all good. This is Tools on the Midday Show. I have my special guest in the studio with me, Laolu. What, NYC, New York City? Laolu, how do I introduce you?
Yeah, Laolu, NYC, also known as Laolu Shebanjo.
The artist.
Visual artist.
Yes, 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 the artist. Okay, so if you have been, if you pay attention to, you know, what's happening in the, you know, world of music internationally and of course, in Nigeria, you'll see that there's been, how do I even get into this? Okay, so I follow Alicia Keys, Swiss Beats on Instagram, and I've seen a lot of African-inspired artwork on their faces, on their arms, and of course in Beyonce's video Lemonade, we saw some of the dancers. They had some gorgeous, like, you know, body paint and everything. And you, sir, were behind all of this.
Yes, I was.
Okay, so before we get started, before we talk about that, before we talk about the major names that you've worked with in, you know, in the world, let's talk about you. So I didn't know this till, well, a few weeks ago. I didn't know that you started off as a lawyer.
Yes.
Okay, a human rights lawyer?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about that. Why did you get into, you know, human rights law, and how did you decide that, okay, I don't want to do that anymore, I want to be an artist now?
First, my parents are Nigerian, they're Yoruba, and my dad's also an attorney. For me, growing up was it's pretty much all set out, laid out, like you were just going to be a lawyer, whether you liked it or not. And I always wanted to do art, never stopped doing art, really, even through law school. So when I finished law, and then I didn't want to go to law school at first. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to focus on art and do music, you know, and I'm going to make a lot of money, you know. And they just, you know, I remember talking to my dad. He was like, you're just a dreamer. Like, you think this actually would work, you know. And
so, it's,
you
so know they basically it's, yeah. told you that could it work?
Yeah, could it work? Yeah, okay. Could it work? So, I mean, now everything is different, though. But, you know, back then it was like struggling with my 9-to-5 and also doing art on the side was just so, so hard. Mm. So, I mean, when I decided to quit, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do art full time. Everybody's just coming like, oh, what's he going to do now? Like, you
know, are you going to make a living?
Yeah, are you going to make a living? So it was more like, you know, get a real job and everything. So, I mean, when I decided to move to Brooklyn, it was out of like, I just wanted to like have a different space where I could actually work, you know, without any judgment, without anybody like, you know, looking over my shoulder. What are you doing now? Are you, you know, successful? And because this society, we're kind of built towards success. But the thing is, There are many ways in which, you know, you can actually be successful. It doesn't have to be just, you know, one, you know, do this and do that before you're successful. And for me, I always understood that, you know, every human, everybody has like a strong point. There's something you're good at, you can ace and become like supreme at it. And I only understood that, yeah, I had a gift, but how I was going to turn that to money, I really didn't have a full grasp, but I just wanted to just sit back and understand what this art world was about. So that's when I moved to New York. I had a lot of art.
When was this?
What?
When did you move to New York?
2013.
Yeah. Oh, so it's been pretty recent.
Yeah.
It's been pretty recent. Okay. All right. So you moved to New York. You decided to quit law.
Yeah.
Yep. Were you making as a lawyer? Were you getting, you know, the dollars, the money?
No, I wasn't even practicing. Like.
Oh, you didn't practice?
In New York.
Okay.
I was doing art, and I was just like, just lost. Pretty much. And like, I just go from gallery to gallery with my art, like hoping they would give me a chance to do something. And they were like, this art does not fit into our clientele, or do you have an agent? Yeah, it's too, you know. And I mean, it was really hard because it was tough, because I had all these dreams in my pocket, and I was thinking, we'll just step in the US, like, boom, just gonna blow. And that didn't happen. So I had to,
I mean, you know, we're in 2018 now, so it's just been a few years.
Yeah,
so you've actually done pretty well.
It's, you know, to be honest, you know, one day in New York is like a month sometimes when you think about what happens, honestly, because I cannot quantify the amount of, like, things that I've done. Like, sometimes in 6 months, it's like I haven't done some of those things in years, you know. And New York is very, I mean, to be unfair to compare any other place to New York in the world, because everything happens so fast and so quick that you could have so much today, and then the next year you're like, boom, you know. So
true.
You really have to have a lot with you. Like, you have to like keep on constantly creating, or you have to like have a lot, like a depth of a lot of art, and whatever it is you do, you must have to keep doing it. You must be on your toes. So, I mean, New York kind of just made me understand that the possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
I mean, just something as mundane, as easy as art stores. I used to get lost in art stores because I saw a lot of art things that I never even knew existed. Like, oh, I can use that. And I would just buy, I was just like a kid in the candy store, just going to art stores and buying things. And that's why, as much as I bought a lot of, like, a couple of things, you know, for other people who want to, like, from my friends who are also artists, and I'm sharing out to people who I know need it. Like, an artist is as good as the tools you give them. There are a lot of people here who are really good at what they do, but the thing is, they don't have the opportunity that, that I've had. So I wouldn't say, like, oh, you know, I have done so, but the thing is, I've just been, I'm grateful I've had the opportunity to be able to, you know, show my skill and bring my art to, like, the world stage and people actually acknowledge it.
I think you were able to key into the lucrative, you know, part of things, because with any sort of creative art, it's obviously fantastic if you're talented, but you need to have the business acumen as well. To be able to, you know,
monetize.
And make a decent living. So when did things start to change? What was that opportunity that came about that just changed things for you?
You know, I think one of the very first things that happened was just being able to survive. Survival was one of the key things. The big opportunity came, of course, like, you know, I worked with Nike.
That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I worked with Nike.
So when they called you, wait, hold on a second. So when they called you, did you think, oh, okay, one of my friends is having a laugh. Who's this?
Actually, I thought as much. But you know what's funny is that even before Nike happened, I had worked with Beyonce.
Yeah.
But I couldn't talk about it. I waited like 8 months before I could talk about Beyonce.
Wow. Well. Yeah. Did you get to meet her?
Yeah, I did.
Oh my God, what's she like?
It's a whole crazy story.
Talk about the Nike part, let's talk about, so would you say working with Beyonce was like the first like major opportunity you had?
Yeah, to be honest. Yeah,
so tell us about that. Tell us about
that. That was
I'm a Beyonce stan.
Yeah, we all are Beyonce.
So you got a call message?
I got a call, then I got an email. And of course, in the email, I just pretty much thought, oh, maybe someone's trying to scam me. Or I was just waiting for the catch. Like, okay, and they're going to tell me now that, oh.
What did the email say?
We love what you do. I'm a big fan of yours, blah, blah, blah. I would love you to work on something like a project with me, blah, blah. And it was Beyonce. I was like.
Yeah, right.
Like, really? And I was like, okay, what's the project about? I replied and everything. And then I got a mail from the official Parkwood and like said everything. And I'm like, but I have to sign a non-disclosure first before I could have a meeting. Because I want to have a face-to-face meeting.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, but I have to sign non-disclosure. So there's a lot of like documents and
stuff
I have
to sign.
But when I was reading through, that's when something said to me, like, oh, shit, this is real. You know? Because I saw a lot of things that I knew that, oh, this was real.
Yeah.
And then when I signed it, all my tickets were booked, business, everything. And I went.
And you were off to see Beyonce.
Off to Louisiana, off to New Orleans, because that's where she was at.
Mm.
So. I mean, when I got down from the plane and, you know, just taking my baggage and everything from baggage claim, and I saw this guy holding my name up, you know, the chauffeur and the car, and I was like, wow, this is real.
This is serious.
And it just, you know, a lot of times, you know, you see back when you tell people that, you know, it sounds cliche when you say, you know, just don't give up on yourself.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Just keep at it. Something might happen. You know, it sounds cliche, but for me, it's real because I felt like, you know, when you're like, I was in that backseat, those memories just... That was a moment for me that I could never forget. Before I even met her, you know, that was like, you know, you could feel something.
Yeah.
Like, yes, this is real and this is going to change a lot of things about my career as an artist. So, got to the hotel, settled in, met a lot of people. Just in the lobby alone, I started meeting celebrities. This is me, Biggie, I met Amanda, I met a lot of people. And it was just insane. And then I was called up for a meeting and she was there. She's like, you know, Laulu, hi. How are you? It's a pleasure to meet you. And then she started.
Did she pronounce your name right?
She did.
Really? That's
yes.
Yes.
It was. We spoke for about 30 minutes, and she was telling me about my art. Nobody goes to my YouTube page. She told me about the art she saw on my YouTube page on the timeline.
So they researched you.
Yep. Told me about things I posted on my Instagram like 2 weeks before. She said she loves my jackets and she loves my shoes. I was just like this.
Wow. So really, you don't know who's following you?
Yeah, and she you don't know. And that just blew me away because she did a lot of research and we started talking about Yoruba myth and I was just like, wow. You know, and that just made me know that she actually, you know, I actually reminded her of something. She wanted something and she saw who was doing it. And I was just like, you know, be in the right place at the right time and boom.
There you go. Yep. There you go. So yep. that is a very, very important, you know, story and a fantastic reference to have. So let's talk a bit more about you, because just before we came on air, you were telling me and RGM about your art.
Yeah.
So the inspiration, the idea behind your art.
Yeah.
So obviously would you consider your work paintings or? How would you describe them?
I'm a visual artist. Visual impressions in it. I call the name of what I do on the skin and human body. Human body is my canvas. I use the term motto, everything is my canvas. But this that I put on my skin is called the sacred art of the Ori's. And in my coin. Something that actually that evolved, you know, because pretty much what I do is I take my art from the canvas, from using charcoal on board, using
and put it everywhere and anywhere.
Everywhere, and then I put it from that and take the same concepts and put it on the human skin. Now, what I call my style also is called Afro-mysterics, which means the mystery of the African thought pattern. So you have concepts, you have ideas, and you have lines, and they're all woven together in patterns to tell the story. So you have different storylines in the same piece. So when you look at my face, for example, you just think, people look at it like, oh, that's beautiful. Does he have a meaning? I'm like, yes, he has a meaning. What's the meaning?
I feel like the spirit of Shango is with me today. And then you just...
And I go in the vibe. You know,
okay,
a lot of times
good.
I go in the vibe. And
that's
simply,
good.
If I was going to paint on you, like, I'm getting a vibe off you now.
Really? Yeah. What kind of vibe are you getting?
Yeah, I'm getting the same vibe, like Ocean, same one that was portrayed in the video.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a lot All of right. that vibe. And it's just beauty, sensual... Somebody who's like aware of this, they are aware of their sensuality. They almost can't get anything just by looking at them.
Do you know what? You need to actually tell me how I can do that because because I'm a little bit lost. All right. Yeah. So we were talking about Yoruba mythology as well.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think is just incredible.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it in entertainment, in at the box office, you know, your Thor, your you know, they're doing big numbers.
Yeah.
So why do you think that Yoruba mythology hasn't really crossed over? Because we have some interesting stories. I think the Nigerian culture is so incredibly rich and diverse and so interesting and endless as well.
Yes.
So why
yes.
do you think it hasn't crossed over?
Honestly, same question, because we have so much to pick from. I can't exhaust on this show. It's so much. I mean, just for example, I'll just touch on this. The slave trade happened. It was horrible. What happened with slave trade? Yoruba mythology, culture, it traveled. Where it went to Brazil, it went to America, it went to Cuba, it went all over the world. So we don't even have to export it. It's already there. And why all these people back in all these countries know what they're trying to do? They're trying to find a link home. What do we do about that? Where's their link? West Africa. Where in West Africa? Yoruba land. Where? Oshun, Oshugrove. It's already there. What do we have to do with that? Create a safe space. Create an area like a museum where people can go and promote the shit out of it. Sorry for using bad language on radio.
I do apologize. I do apologize.
Yeah, but I see people who don't even have like half of what we have. Centuries old. Like centuries. We have things that... could go on for like 1,000 years. That's why people say, oh, Yoruba, what tribe are you? I don't consider myself from a tribe because it's rude. And I think it's insulting to call Yoruba people a tribe. That's a nation. You know, but it's existed for like thousands of years. And we have our own like civilization methods, our food, our dance, our entertainment, everything. I mean, you can call a tribe of people like a monkeys or five people in the bush. That's a tribe. Yeah, you can call Yoruba, you can call yourself a tribe. I think it's ridiculous because you don't go to England and say, what tribe are you? Or go to Ireland and say, well, tribal. You know, nobody does that. You know, I think we should pride ourselves in who we are, the heritage we have, the legacy we've been given. You understand? And not just start with the colonial period, because this is it's so hard to tell people that.
It's obviously, you know, it's existed way before that.
Way
yeah.
before. And when you even look at things like the Ife head, let's just take an example of Ife head. I know Ife head, when it was... Of course, when people come here, they tell us they discovered it, but it wasn't. They didn't discover shit. It's been
I'm gonna need to stop saying the S words, please.
Yeah. They didn't discover anything, but I hope they don't kick me out of here.
I hope so too.
But the Ife head is as old as it's 700 years old. Do you know what that means?
Really old.
It was declared as a supreme document. At that point. And at the point when the Ife head was being made, you know, nobody was making anything that detailed. Not the Greeks, not the Chinese, not the Asians. So immediately our artwork kind of took a space. When you talk of Greek art, you talk of Yoruba art. Like it's that serious. Like, we have a place in history. And people don't understand how heavy that is, because not every culture or every civilization has this kind of history. Because that is huge. That means we come from an ancestry of geniuses, you know. And this is where I'm coming from. When people look at my work, they say, oh, it's so detailed, it's so complex. Yeah, it's so complex because it's in my DNA. You know, this is who we are. We are made this way. I'm not trying to brag, but we just need to embrace who we are and understand that we...
Artists here, I'm like I said before, I'm not terribly, you know, knowledgeable about the art world. Yeah. I just know what I like, you know, and I followed you and I was like, oh, I love what he does. It's amazing. Very interesting.
Thank you, Tools. Really and appreciate that.
You're very welcome. And I love the fact that there's a story behind it and you can look at what you do and you can kind of just say, oh, I think this means this or this means that. So we're talking about a Wole Soyinka piece that you did that I thought was absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And you could see that you tried to capture different elements from what you know about him.
Yeah.
I thought that was amazing. Yeah. So how do we get more artists? Because we do have a lot of very, very, very talented artists here in Nigeria. So how do we get to a place where their work stands, you know, can stand up in on a global level, basically?
Yeah.
So it can be, you know, competitive on a global level. In Njidika Akinyuli Crosby, she's obviously very, very successful. Her work is selling, like, you know. So how do we get to the stage where, you know, we have more Nigerian artists, like, doing well globally?
So I think it first starts with the mindset, you know. And, you know, with everything you said, you talked about, you know, some of our artworks in British museums and other museums in Metz and in France and different parts of the world. I think one of the problems we're having a different type of colonization happening right now in our midst, but we don't even know it because a lot of people don't even talk about it because they don't know. Mm. Like, for example, look at this. This is a very famous British artist called Damien Hirst.
Yes,
you know what
of
he
course.
Did? He recreated the Ife head. He recreated the head and he put it in an exhibition. One, he has access to the British
Museum. Yes, I remember that.
He had access to the British Museum and they gave him access to actually do that. As an African, I wouldn't even be given that kind of access to do that because they would tell me, like, it's a rip-off and a copy. But he can do that and get out. And guess who's going to see that? You know who's coming to this exhibition? Kids.
Yeah, and they're going
the
to
first time,
and they're going to see the Ife head, and they're going to be like, "Oh, that's Damien Hirst."
And guess what? My own like descendants or people after us are going to come and going to come with art like that, and go to Europe, like, "Oh, your work reminds me of Damien Hirst." Do you know how insulting that is?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And the thing is, and this is happening right now, and our stuff is being stolen daily. I see a lot of art every time, and I see, including Picasso stole art from Africa.
Mm.
I love him, I respect him, but a lot of his, the recent works he did before he passed, a lot of them were inspired by masks in Africa, and he didn't even say so.
Mm. So, well, that's exactly what Damien Hirst was accused of doing.
Exactly.
So, he was accused of stealing African art without giving credit, without referencing.
Yeah, without credit. And they keep doing it. And then my point is, we need to value our own art, and we need to know that when things are being robbed, people take it off, we should stand up and be mad about it.
Is this something that our government needs to get more involved in?
Yes, I think so. I think we need to look more into tourism as like a really, really like as a resource, something that we can benefit from, because there's so much here. There's so much. I mean, if you go to, I don't want to mention Nike Art Gallery, but she's got so much. Like, why should just Nike be doing that?
Like, we should have her museum. Her gallery is amazing.
Yes.
Absolutely amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love her as a person. She's like my second mom.
There should be more.
Yeah. There should be more. I mean, we need like the government to step in and do this, because on a greater level, let us start seeing these adverts on CNN, everywhere, Al Jazeera, worldwide, so people know what is in Africa. We don't want everything about Africa to just be bad governance or scam or any scam, everything coming out of there. So I'm just kind of excited for the future, because the revolution has kind of started, and I see young minds, everybody now wants to purchase our tools. Also is buying my art, in case you don't know. And she's already purchasing
Amen. You do layaway plans, right? I could put down a deposit, and then, you know, every month, God willing.
But it's amazing. There's a new wave, and I'm here. I'm doing what I'm doing, and I'm inspiring people, younger people now. Like, I get emails every day like, oh, because of you, I didn't give up, or because of you, I'm taking my art more seriously. That almost wants to make me cry, because that's the reason. It's not just for the fame or for anything. It's more about inspiring people and a legacy. You know, yeah, eventually course, people see course. The art, they're like, ah, Yoruba art is, you know, art is getting global acclaim, and it's just amazing. I'm happy to be doing that.
And you've been featured, you know, your story, your work, you've been featured on quite a lot of sites. The Fader, Cosmopolitan, to name a few. And like you said, obviously working with Beyonce, working with Nike, which is incredible. Bulgari as well. They did you have your own Bulgari. That must have been incredible. I saw that and I was just like, wait, did he just design something for them? I was just like, whoa.
Oh yeah, you ain't seen anything yet. This year is going to be lit.
So there's more.
Oh man, I can't talk about it.
Right, non-disclosure and all of that stuff.
But it's an LVMH, but just wait for it.
please. You know what? Let me just, whatever it is, let me give you a deposit now. Just hold my own. So by the time it comes out, I would have finished paying for it.
We're cool. Don't worry.
Okay.
We're cool.
Don't say this and I'm like, you have DM. Check your DM. And you're like, you just ignore it. Okay. So yeah, you do have a gallery in New York.
Yeah.
In Chelsea.
Redbird Gallery. Yeah.
Chelsea. So that is pretty big. That's pretty cool.
It is. I have the opportunity to show my work there and, like I'm gonna be there for like a year now. They've been very like it's just been amazing. Like I used to be the guy walking around that place looking into those windows and
saying
hoping one day is gonna happen, and then I get invited in. It's I don't know. Sometimes it's just incredible. Honestly, I just feel lucky and I feel blessed. You know.
Yeah.
And I just want to be able to stretch out my arms and help other people. You know, because I mean, a lot of artists go through a lot, you know, just to make sure our work gets out there. It's like our whole life depends on it, you know. And for people who don't even see before there's a big break, it's kind of, it hurts. But because then big break is not just about the art of that time. It's about all their lives and how they built up to that. Because you have to just use your like 10,000 hours. And sometimes you're so good at it, people look at you like, oh, you must be gifted. And I tell you, it's practice, you know, and a lot of man hours that goes into it too. So, yeah. I'm just grateful to be doing what I'm doing, and hopefully Tools comes to New York and I give her a tour.
I'm so down for that. I would love to see your work.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you use different, you know, should I say surfaces as your canvas.
Yeah.
I've seen that you've done stuff for you've done a lot of like jackets and everything for like Alicia Keys, Swiss Beats, Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah.
And who else?
Man, I can't even count right now. I did something with Kenneth Cole too. Like Usher. Who else have I worked with? And I'm still working with. I'm working with a lot of people that I can't even talk about. I don't want to talk about someone now, but I just.
You could, it's just me and you. Your mic is off. Your mic is off.
No, don't do this to me now. You won't have to cancel me after my.
Okay. You know what? Let me not be a destiny destroyer. I'm gonna. It's okay. You don't have to tell me.
Yeah. But I mean, Taraji is pretty. Like, do you know what it means, like, to adore people and then you become friends? That's just crazy. It's so weird.
That must be so cool.
So weird.
I'm still praying one day, me and Beyonce will be like, hey, Tool. Oh my God, Beyonce's my friend. Anyways, so we do have the headline news coming up shortly, but you are not just a visual artist.
Yeah.
You are an audio artist as well.
I'm a musician, yeah.
A musician. Yeah. Okay, so I've got your track coming up. I played this on my show for the first time, like, oh goodness, a good few weeks ago? This is you featuring Sound Sultan, Mr. Easy, and Nana B. Cole.
Yes.
So what do you, I think I know the answer, but which do you prefer more, music or, you know, being a visual artist?
Honestly, both of them. I want to work on an album. You know, the thing is, I'm doing like a visual with music, because a lot of my music actually translates to my art. A lot of my art translates to my music. I play the guitar and I'm also a producer.
Okay.
And I actually brought my guitar if you wanted me to play. I could serenade you if you want to.
Do you know what? We're going to do that. I was going to try and wrap up things, but I can never say no to somebody serenading me. Love it. So we're going to take the headline news right now with Victor, and then straight after that, Lauli Tools on the Midday Show. I still have Lauli in the studio. We are going to wrap things up because we've got hang time at 2 o'clock. So Lauli had to go get his guitar. And his guitar is beautiful.
Thank you, it's really nice.
So he did promise to serenade me earlier. And I'm like, look, if you're going to do this, you got to do it right. Yep, you got to do it right. And we're going to try and, He wants me to sing, but you know, why did you laugh like that? Why did you laugh like that? I should be offended.
I saw you play the piano when I sang. If I tell you, that's
a, yeah. See, the thing about me is,
are you really talented though?
Yes, I am. Yeah. I am very talented.
That was really cool. The thing about piano playing, like yes. The fingering, it was so like.
I just feel that I'm just way ahead of my time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so yeah. I feel like a lot of people are not ready.
They're not ready yet.
Yes, and they wouldn't understand
it. They're not ready.
You know, ready, so yeah. That special version of Davido's "If," mm-hmm. it's. You need to understand the
depth. Yeah, I get it. No, I understand it. Honestly, I'm with you.
There's so much depth. Like, you need to listen to the way I recreated the lyrics. Anyways, enough okay. of my BS. Right? So, how are we going to do this? Are you going to sing?
Gonna flow. You're just going to, like, let it, like, the rhythm just go with, like, talking okay. to tools right now on Beat 99 FM. Yeah, talking to tools. Can you feel the beat? Can you feel the beat? Till she woke up this morning.
I woke up this morning.
She put on a wig.
I put on my wig.
And then she smiles at the mirror.
I smiled at the mirror. Say, then I put better? On my Spanx.
I'm chilling out with tools.
Chilling on with tools.
Midday.
Okay, go on. Look sorry, you should lead this. You should lead this.
Are we packing up right now? How many seconds left do I have?
I don't know. How many seconds do you want?
So we can keep playing this song.
You can keep playing your song
till the end of the day.
Till the end of the day, or till 4 o'clock.
So who's gonna write me my check, yo?
Nobody's gonna write you a check, yo.
Oh or yeah.
The check I write you, it could bounce.
It's about what? Money, money, buy me, go on me. Hey.
More lower.
Money, oh yeah, so whoa, me, pay.
Ain't no money in the bank.
Hey. You said 50 billion for the account, yeah.
I meant 50 billion Zimbabwe dollars, yeah.
Ole, Malieke. Are you a scammer, Lee?
They call me Prince Waheed on email. Oh my God, oh my God. See, I'm actually just displaying how untalented I am. Please, let me stop embarrassing my whole family. Okay. All right. Oh, that was so funny. Don't worry. When I come to New York,
yeah,
we're going to,
jam out.
Yes. Definitely. I'll get some voice training.
You're perfect. You don't need
stop
nobody to train.
Me. Do you know, the craziest thing is, in terms of, my creative talents, singing is not really up there. Neither is rapping.
Oh, really?
No, I'm not really.
Let's put in some bars then. Throw in
some
bars.
You ready? No, you
Come
need
on,
to stop making
stupid. Let's do this. Throw in some bars. Let's
no,
do
people
it.
Are going to people are going to stop listening. People are actually going to stop
Let's throw in
listening.
Some bars. Let's do some bars, yeah.
You need to stop making me do this because I don't have a talent. I can't rap. No, can I sing?
Really? You're already doing it. Yeah, that's it.
And they're filming. This is going to go out.
We're waiting for Tools right now. She's about to drop some bars. No. Come on, Tools. Let's do this. Oh, yeah.
I think it's clear that I can't rap. It's also clear that I can't sing. So, Laulu, if you're going to do this on my show, I suggest you be behind the mic and do everything off. I can't do this. Stop it. All right, so we have got... People are going to be thinking that I've been drinking. And, I only had my first drink after midday.
Well, I don't know.
I'm joking. So,